Hello, and welcome to the Albuquerque Theatre Guild podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Thank you for joining us. This week, we're changing the format of the podcast. We will no longer be doing the calendar listing. That information is available on the Albuquerque Theatre Guild website. Instead, we'll be shortening the program to just the interview section, focused on upcoming shows at just one theatre per podcast. Depending on the participation of member organizations, there may not be a podcast every week. This week, we're talking with Dennis Elkins, the director of The Merry Wives of Windsor, for the Vortex Theatre's annual Shakespeare on the Plaza.
Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
When does that open?
The opening night is actually As You Like It, and then that's a Friday, and then I come in on the Saturday with Merry Wives.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So then we run those back, interchange those for the next 4 weeks after that. So
in a repertory kind of a basis, but it's different casts.
Two different casts.
Totally. Two different casts. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about you for just a moment or two. How did you get to be in theater? Kind of what was your path to get to where you are today?
It's been kind of crazy. I come from Western Kansas. So this part of even northern New Mexico is sort of like home to me. We went to church camp up just outside of Las Vegas every summer. So I was familiar with that part of the area. But theater was not part of my background, you might say. My folks took me to plays when they could. And when we did them in school, I was always involved. And I guess my first real experience was in college, my freshman year, and I had an advisor, a friend, professor, who encouraged me to do extracurricular activities as a way to meet people. So I saw that there was an audition for Camelot first semester, and I thought, well, if I can just get in the chorus, just get in the chorus, I can meet people. That would be a good extracurricular activity. Well, lo and behold, I got one of the major characters.
Oh!
and I didn't get to sing. Pelinor doesn't sing.
Pelinor doesn't sing. No.
So, and all of the other, the major characters were all seniors and juniors, and here I was the freshman. So I guess that's what got me started. And I just haven't, I've tried to run away from theater before a few times, but it kept sucking me back in.
I think we all have that phenomenon occur during our careers. Can't really blame you for that.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I got started.
Looking at your resume and such, you have a very heavy presence in, I guess, what we would call classical theater, classical type characters. Maybe not fully classical, but Shakespearean.
I don't know how that, I didn't necessarily train for that, but I guess I got started doing Shakespeare, and then I did 10 seasons with the Colorado Shakespeare Company, or in Boulder, at Colorado Shakespeare Festival, and I got a lot of training that way. So I guess more classical than I had anticipated.
On-the-job training is
totally
a wonderful thing, particularly if you're working with people who know what they're doing.
Yeah. I've had a lot of really good directors and vocal coaches and people I watched. That's how I learned. That's where I learned, was on the boards.
Right. And you are a student of Moritz?
Fitzmaurice.
Fitzmaurice.
Yes.
Sorry.
I met Catherine Fitzmaurice in Boulder. She was the vocal coach 1 year, actually 2 years. And the woman changed my life in terms of just vocal production. And that place up there seats 1,000 people with no amplification, no microphones or anything. And you had to hit the back of that, the house, and
without ripping your throat out every night.
Without ripping your throat out, exactly. And that's where I learned it. Yeah. So I've since become a teacher of Fitzmaurice technique. So it's been a wonderful journey there too.
Let's get to play well into what you're doing now with Merry Wives. It's not quite as big a stage.
No.
But Shakespeare on the Plaza is, it's still an outdoor space, and you still have to reach the audience.
Yes. And I guess one of the biggest challenges, I think, for any actor, but for that space, is you have to play it to the space. You have to be just a bit bigger than life to make sure that you're the one that they're paying attention to, because there's a lot of distractions down there.
Yes,
all the time. So it is a matter of, it's not just, it's different than playing, say, like inside the Vortex Theater, where your closest audience member could be 2 feet from you, mm-hmm. and not much further than 10 feet away would be the, you know, right. major distance. Whereas in the Plaza, there's a lot of footage between you and the and the house or the people that are watching.
I have been there a couple of times when they were playing at the museum, but you're not at the museum. You're actually on the plaza.
We're actually on the plaza.
In the band shell? Is that
Well, they have in the past been underneath the band shell. And last summer, I also was fortunate to direct Comedy of Errors there. Mm-hmm. So they actually turned it around. So instead of watching the show on that stage that's in place there, we turned it around and put the stage out closer to the center, and then sat people around it.
Wow.
From there, the stage is a great place, I'm sure, for music venues and things like that, but it's just a little higher than on the mm-hmm. the regular plaza
right.
cement. You just can't get a very good sense of depth on that stage if you're seated
in
a regular chair out there.
Well, Merry Wives of Windsor, were you involved in the choice of that, or did you just say, hey, I'm available, let me have one?
They were gracious. The folks at the Vortex were gracious to invite me back. I loved the experience last summer, and this summer is just as much fun. But no, I didn't necessarily choose this one. Mm-hmm. I had a few others up my sleeve that I really would have liked to have done. However, Peter was insistent that let's look at this. Let's look at this. This is a really good play. Let's look at this a little. Let's look at it again. So I said, okay, I'll look at it again. And
well, to give you some reference, it must have been mid-80s somewhere. They did Merry Wives at the Vortex. Peter was Master Ford and I was Master Page.
Excellent. It's a challenge. It's one of Shakespeare's lesser played pieces. It just offers several challenges in the text. Mm-hmm. And I had not actually seen a production of it, except once, and it was not necessarily memorable, other than it reminded me maybe never to do this one. But I am actually sold on it now, because we've made some good cuts to it, and it plays beautifully now that we... We're working on it. We're making it work.
For our audience who is not familiar with Merry Wives, what have we got going on?
Well, the character of Falstaff, which historically he's a very popular character in Henry IV, Parts 1 and 2, which are history plays of Shakespeare's. And Queen Elizabeth, the story goes, she wanted another play with Falstaff in it, wanted to see Falstaff in love. So we find Falstaff, sort of that iconic character, sort of troublemaker, a bit pompous, coming into town with very little money. So he decides to woo two of the more well-to-do ladies of the town to see which one he could get money out of. I don't know that he's actually in love, but he's using love as a way to get money. And the women are incensed that he would do that to them, both with the same love letters. And so they do a number on Falstaff to teach him a lesson. And that's where the farce comes in, because you see him beaten out of the house, dumped into a clothes basket. It's fun.
Buck basket.
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest things I remember about our production was the line Master Ford has when he discovers that he's hidden in the buck basket, and Peter delivering that line. Buck basket.
Buck. it's a hoot. It's a comedy. It really is. So that's the primary focus of the plays, teaching Falstaff a lesson.
Well, as I recall, it's very accessible in its language.
Oh, very.
Much more so than some of the tragedies and the history plays, in that even though the language is Shakespearean, it's still accessible because of the amount of interaction and physical comedy that goes on in the thing.
Both of those things. And there really is less... It's mostly prose and not poetry in the writing style. So, I mean, there are still some lines that you get a little bit of poetry in there, but I think Shakespeare also... He wrote it quickly in prose, so it flies pretty fast anyway.
Right.
Just the language. And it's not hard to understand at all.
So from that standpoint, I would encourage people to come see it, because if you hate Shakespeare, and there are plenty,
yeah, there's plenty
that do,
yeah.
It's a different sort of Shakespeare for a lot of people.
It's probably one of the more accessible plays, really, after I've started working on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, this is not difficult stuff. No.
Right.
And we set it in a place in the 1960s. So the timing of it is 1960s costumes, 1960s music. So it's going to be fun.
Okay, well, putting it out, yeah, I was about to make a comment about its message is so timely, particularly today.
Oh, totally.
With the Me Too movement, then how would Falstaff have fared in today's environment, much less the
he would have been fired a long time ago.
Well, I don't know whether this is accurate to say, but it seems to me that the 60s were the counterculture, the coming out, and the free love, the women were literally finding some power in the 60s.
And I had not really thought of that until I started working on the script and noticing how Shakespeare wrote very strong women in this play. They're not to be fooled with.
Yes, no.
And they, like I keep saying, they teach Falstaff a lesson, but there are three, well, the Mistress Page, Mistress Ford, and Mistress Quickly, who are major characters. And And because of some of the other ways that we are able to do this, I've added Justice Shallow is a woman, is a female character now.
All right.
So there, again, are very strong women roles in this show.
Yeah, as I remember, and maybe I'm mixing up a couple of them because I've done a number of them through the years and haven't done any of them recently. But as I recall, there are competitions for Falstaff other than the two husbands. For instance, the Shallow and a couple of others are vying for the love of the two.
Of Paige's daughter.
Daughter. Okay, all right.
So Anne Page, Mistress Anne Page, she is the fourth.
That's right.
Female character. She doesn't have a whole lot to say, but you have three men vying for her hand. The Mr. Page, the father, wants her to marry one person. The mother wants her to marry another person. And, of course,
she wants to marry the third one.
Exactly. So without giving it away, Anne gets to choose. Anne is not going to live life based on what her father says she has to do.
Right.
Which puts this at a very sort of a new age love romance. This is not, well, it's kind of like Romeo and Juliet. It's just that doesn't end, sadly.
Nobody's dying in
nobody's dying
at the end.
But that is a sort of powerful woman. And moving it to the late 60s, when women are taking themselves out of the house, moving into the women's lib movement of the 70s, it is a time of great flux. And this play fits so perfectly right there.
So who do you have playing your Falstaff?
Charles Fisher.
Charles Fisher as Falstaff. Oh, my God.
And he played Falstaff in the recent productions of Henry IV, parts one and two, that they just did at the Vortex. So it was one of my joys was to get to see that production.
Oh, good.
So when they offered me sort of this show to do, one of my first questions is, so do you think I could get Charles to come back and do Falstaff?
Yeah.
And it was like a wink, wink. Yeah, that would be a really good idea.
Yeah.
So he really does have a wonderful sense of the language to play with.
Goodness. I've worked with Charles for a number of years in several of these. And he's just, I can't off the top of my head think of anybody who would be a better Falstaff at this point. Peter maybe, but Charles, I think, definitively would be the better Falstaff.
It's fun.
Well, Dennis Elkins, directing Merry Wives of Windsor on the Plaza, Shakespeare on the Plaza with the Vortex Theater. Thank you for being here.
Letting me chat.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Join us again in weeks to come when we talk with other interesting people in Albuquerque's theater world. If you're enjoying our programs, please share with your friends. Until we're together again, go see some live performance art, and we'll look for you right back here next time. Thank you.